Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Welcome to the serialized audiobook of The All-Pro, Season 4 of the Galactic Football League series. Written and performed by Scott Sigler. The All-Pro is also available as an ebook, a paperback, and as an ad-free, unabridged audiobook. For links to purchase any version, visit scottsigler.com/theallpro, one word, no spaces, or find it at scottsigler.com/books.
Quentin and Yitzhak Goldman walked into an expansive reception area. Chairs for all species filled the center of the room. Whole loaves of sports figures lined the walls, individual images of a dozen athletes frozen in dramatic action. At the end of the circular room sat a curved desk. Behind it, a stunning blonde human woman. "Mr. Goldman," she said, flashing a smile that took Quentin's breath away. "How is Ahava and your sons?"
"They're fantastic!"
Yitzhak automatically smiled at the mention of his family.
"So nice of you to ask!"
The woman nodded, just once, acknowledging Yitzhak's compliment. She fixed her perfect brown eyes on Quentin.
"Mr. Barnes, welcome."
"Hi," Quentin said.
He knew he was staring. He couldn't help himself.
"Mr. Lundy is on a call," the receptionist said. "Would you both mind waiting? He won't be but a moment."
Yitzhak walked to one of the human chairs and sat. Quentin forced himself to look away from the receptionist and did the same. Yitzhak had counseled Quentin with off-the-field aspects of football as much as Don Pine had tutored on-field action. Zach had helped Quentin land endorsement deals, helped him manage his rage, and, most importantly, given Quentin a reality check that the poor, dangerous days of the Purist Nation were in the past. "You're not on McCovey anymore," Zach had said, words Quentin took to heart. Zach's white skin and white hair marked him as a native of the Planet Fortress. Even his eyebrows and eyelashes were white, which made his coal-black eyes demand attention.
"Hey, Zach," Quentin whispered, "that girl is gorgeous."
Yitzhak nodded.
"Danny likes the eye candy."
"I guess so. Is he with her?"
Yitzhak gave Quentin a quizzical look, then laughed.
"I don't think Danny and his secretary are an item, if that's what you mean. Danny just kind of does everything with first class, maybe even a little over the top."
Yitzhak punctuated his sentence by gesturing to the holos that lined the room's circular walls. Quentin saw one of John Tweedy, staring with his wide-eyed pre-snap intensity. Another of golfer Declan Murphy. His focus stare visible through the clear helmet of the rad suits needed to play the sport on Ionath's challenging courses. And a couple of Kraken's linemen, Vuko Will and Budo Schweck, all decked out in their black home jerseys and black leg armor.
"Huh. I knew John was one of Danny's clients, but I didn't know about Vuko and Budo."
The waiting room holo showed even more stars, including a small, armored human that wouldn't have even reached Quentin's hip. Quentin recognized the little man's red armor.
"Wow! Is that Poughkeepsie Pete?"
"It is," Yitzhak said. "Danny has a couple of Dinolition clients. None as major as Pete, though."
Quentin saw a dashing, white-skinned quarterback wearing a black jersey with an orange number 14 on the chest, planting his rear foot after a dropback, looking downfield and preparing to throw.
"Damn, Zach! Whoever took that shot needs a bonus.
Why's that?
Because it makes you look good. Must be trick photography.
Ah ha ha. You're quite the comedian.
The last holo wasn't as bright as the others, wasn't as dramatic. It took Quentin a moment to realize that the holo was of him. Not dropping back to pass, not hurdling some defensive lineman, but just standing there, jersey all beat to hell, blood on his arms and face. Standing there and looking down. Yitzhak saw it as well.
That's weird. They make me shine like a movie star, but a pretty boy like you look like you were eaten by a key lineman, then thrown up because you soured his stomach. Sure is a lot different from the images Manny Sayed had of you on that first visit to the yacht.
Yeah, Quentin said. A lot different.
Manny had done the Hypatia's interior in various images of Quentin, each more grandiose than the last. The still and moving holos had made Quentin look like a hero, like something superhuman. That approach had made Quentin uncomfortable. He still didn't think of himself as a superstar. He was an orphan miner that just so happened to be blessed with unusual genetics. He worked harder than anyone else, sure, but were it not for his size, speed, and strength, all the hard work in the galaxy wouldn't have made him a starting quarterback in the GFL. In that moment, Quentin knew Danny Lundy was the guy. Quentin hadn't even met the agent, yet Danny had known exactly the kind of thing that would make Quentin comfortable. Sure, it was very presumptuous to put a holo of Quentin in the waiting room along with Danny's existing clients. But this image? It looked humble. That wasn't the way Quentin acted on the field or in the locker room, but for some reason, it felt right.
It's a great shot, Yitzhak said. I feel like it captures the real you. Not the loudmouth slave driver you are in the practice field, but the real you.
What's that supposed to mean?
Yitzhak shrugged.
You ever given any thought to what you'll do after football?
Probably be scratching at the inside of my coffin, Quentin said. The only way I'm not involved is if I'm dead.
Yitzhak's black eyes stared at Quentin, stared with an expression of seriousness, importance.
People follow you, Quentin. Have you noticed that?
Quentin shrugged.
I'm the team leader.
Not just on the field, off it as well. There's something about you. People want to follow you. You ever think of using that for something greater than yourself? Greater than football?
This sounded like a preacher's pitch to draw Quentin into a prayer revival tent.
You haven't gone all religious on me, have you, Zach?
The backup quarterback stared, then smiled. He shook his head.
Maybe it's a conversation for another time.
Maybe, Quentin said.
And if another time actually meant never, well, that would work out just fine. The gorgeous receptionist caught their attention with nothing more than her blazing smile.
Mr. Lundy will see you now. Go right in.
The circular wall to the left of her desk rose up. The holos there faded out, revealing a meeting room with a thick glass table. Waiting inside was a dolphin with legs.
Quentin, Yitzhak said. Meet Danny Lundy.
Quentin Barnes, thank you so much for agreeing to meet with me.
Danny Lundy stepped forward. Only Quentin's growing experience with non-human life forms stopped him from taking a step back, for this creature's appearance assailed Quentin with visual input. Danny wasn't a gray dolphin. He'd had his skin modified. The base color was white, probably, but a sheen of reds, yellows, oranges, blues, and greens made him look like a moist, streamlined rainbow. He wore some kind of silver harness, a chassis that wrapped around the front and back of his bejeweled dorsal fin, and also around the base of his tail. A jeweled cable ran from the harness in front of his fin up and into a metal jack just behind his blowhole. Four thin but strong silver leg cables extended from the underside of the harness, supporting Danny's weight and letting him walk. Two more silvery protrusions connected to the sides of his foremost harness circle. These looked like thin, sculptured human arms. They even ended in metallic, human-looking hands. Danny walked around the table, strode forward, and extended his right mechanical arm. The gesture was artificial, but obvious. He wanted to shake hands.
Pleased to meet you, Quentin, he said.
Danny's voice was a mix of low-volume mumbling, chitters, and squeaks combined with a louder, dominant tone. Like Doc Patah, Danny Lundy had a vocal adapter to turn his natural sounds into flawless English, words that rang with a pitchman's easy confidence. Quentin swallowed, then did the courteous thing and shook Danny's hand. Quentin expected cold metal, but the handshake was surprisingly warm, firm, and welcoming.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Lundy.
Danny,
Danny said.
Mr. Lundy is my dad, for crying out loud.
Quentin had seen dolphins in water, of course. There had been plenty of them in Hudson Bay Station's water tubes, the aquatic equivalent of sidewalks that also worked for Leakey and Wetakians. But he'd never seen dolphins up close like this. Danny had to be at least 7 feet from nose to tail, as long as Quentin was tall. Even without the mechanical legs and hands, the rainbow-colored creature weighed at least 300 pounds. Danny gestured to the table, a motion so natural and human that Quentin almost forgot the hand and the arm were mechanical.
Please, have a seat.
Yitzhak pulled out one of the 4 black leather chairs and sat. Quentin did the same. As Danny walked around the table, Quentin leaned in to hiss at Zach.
Were you going to tell me he was a fish?
Zach smiled and whispered back.
More fun this way. I wanted to see how you reacted. And he's not a fish.
Whatever.
Danny lowered his body into a chair made for his long form.
So, Quentin, Zach tells me you might be interested in representation.
Quentin nodded.
Good,
Danny said.
Look, I know you're a busy human, so I'm not going to swim in circles here. I'm a fan, buddy. I love to watch you play. I want to represent your interests. Anyone can see you have a monster career in front of you, guy. And I'll be honest, your current contract is one floating turd of a deal.
Floating turd?
That might be too nice a term,
Danny said.
It's spoiled Wotokian guts processed into a digital form and turned into a legal document. Trust me on this one, buddy.
Well, I know it's not good, but...
Not good? The salmon I had for lunch was not good, guy. Your contract? It's atrocious, flagitious, and abysmal. An athlete of your caliber needs to be properly compensated for the danger he faces, wouldn't you agree?
Well, yeah, Danny was right about that. Quentin was in danger. On every single snap of every game, his health, his career, and even his life were at risk. Quentin nodded.
You could suffer anything from abrasions to deformations to decapitations, buddy,
Danny said.
And for this brave effort, this stalwart endeavor, this soldiering leadership, you make league minimum. Is that right, Quentin? League minimum?
Yeah, Mr. Dolphin.
Danny.
Danny, right. Sorry.
League minimum. I tell you, guy, this whole contract of yours makes me angry. It makes me enraged, deranged, and estranged. But I can get this fixed up for you, buddy. Greedock the Splithead wants to play hardball. I can make him regret it. Trust me on that. His compensation is defamation. His pay is no way. You're a free agent at the end of the year. So if you sign with me, we can get you what you deserve. He wants to play rough? No problem. I'll show him how we do things 100 meters deep.
Quentin gathered that was a figure of speech, although he had no idea what it really meant.
So, Danny, how exactly do we play hardball with a gangster that can have sentience killed whenever he feels like it?
Danny's squealing laugh filled the room again, made the glass table vibrate.
Simple, guy. We fight fire with fire. We put him in a bidding war with other gangsters that can also have sentience killed whenever they feel like it.
Quentin's eyes narrowed.
And how do we do that?
You're a free agent at the end of the year, buddy. That means we go out and talk to other teams.
Talk to them about what?
Danny stared. He turned to face Yitzhak.
Zachy, baby, is this too like a messing with me? Because if he is, he's hysterical.
Yitzhak shook his head.
He's not messing with you. Get used to it, Danny. When you're dealing with Quentin, what you see and what you hear is what you get.
Danny turned back to Quentin.
We talked to the other teams, buddy, about playing for them. If Greedock doesn't want to take care of his star quarterback, maybe that star quarterback lines up on his center next year in something other than a Kraken's jersey.
Quentin sagged back into his chair. He'd always known that being a free agent meant you could play for other teams. Logically, he'd known that. But emotionally? Emotionally, he'd never really considered that he would ever wear anything but the orange and the black.
I don't know, Danny. I think we're building something great here.
The silver hands lifted, palm up, then set back down. Danny's version of a shrug.
You're the client. If you want to end up in INF, that's where you end up. But if you want to get properly compensated for putting hundreds of thousands of sentients in the stands, for making billions tune in to watch, for risking your life and limb not just in games but in practice, then I mean negotiating power. If Haiwan wants you in Kraken's Orange next season, guy, then you have to trust his teachings and know that everything happens for a reason.
Quentin stared at the dolphin's black eyes. Stared hard.
Danny, do you actually think the Haiwan has anything to do with this? Or are you just telling me what you think I want to hear so we'll, I don't know, so we'll bond or something?
Danny paused. Quentin thought about his holo in the waiting room. How Danny had somehow picked exactly the picture that would make Quentin feel at home. And now Danny was referring to the Haiwan, probably trying to make Quentin relax that way as well.
The Haiwan has everything to do with this, buddy,
Danny said.
And not just in the way you think. You need a negotiator. When it comes to negotiation, I am the shucking Haiwan.
The statement was damn near sacrilegious. But instead of angering Quentin, it made him smile. In a room like this, Danny Lundy was just as cocky as Quentin was on the field. Maybe that was yet another affect to make Quentin feel comfortable, but whether it was fake or not didn't really matter, because it worked.
Danny, I've never really worked with a fish before.
Cetacean,
Danny and Yitzhak said together. Danny's mechanical rig sprayed a fine mist onto his rainbow skin.
Fish are food. I'm a mammal guy. Warm blood and a big brain.
Cows are mammals, Quentin said. Aren't they food?
Danny's blowhole let out a hiss of annoyance.
If you find a cow that can give you a record-setting contract, I suggest you sign with him.
Quentin laughed.
Point taken. But like I said, I've never worked with a... what was it again?
Cetacean,
Danny and Yitzhak said together.
Right. I've never worked with a cetacean before. Don't you think someone with my religious background might be better off with a human agent?
Danny shook his head hard, a motion that made his entire 7-foot body lurch and scatter water droplets onto the floor.
When it comes to business, buddy, cetaceans are where it's at. You could go human or key or even sign with that talking cow if you find him, but no matter what you do, you won't get the kind of personal service, the kind of dedication that my species brings to the table. It's genetic with us. You sign with me, I'm not just an agent, I'm your protector, your champion, the sentient that knocks the living hell out of everything that opposes you. I'm unstoppable, unflappable, and far from a gamble. Others might tell you that they will land you the contract you deserve. Not me, guy. Danny Lundy gets you the contract that you have earned.
Danny seemed to know all the right words. Athletes were always talking about what they deserved, like the universe owed them for having been born with physical gifts. Quentin didn't buy into any of that. All the gifts in the world didn't matter if you didn't work your ass off to develop them. And at the end of the day, even that didn't matter if you didn't win. Life wasn't about deserving anything. It was about earning everything. And if Danny had said those words because they were what Quentin wanted to hear, well, at least that meant this cetacean was one hell of a researcher. Quentin stood and extended his hand.
Danny, I'm in. Let's see what you can do.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
January 1st, 2684. The first day of a new year. At least it was back on Earth. The concept of years lost all meaning in a galaxy filled with over 50 inhabited worlds, each world with its own orbit around its own star. Quentin didn't care about galactic constant time or the Kredorakian's unified calendar. Football seasons operated based on Earth years, so that was the only system that mattered. January 1st. Less than a month to opening day, which happened on Sunday, January 27th, 2684. He walked into Ionath Stadium's locker room, his chest buzzing with the feeling of possibility, of potential. He'd been gone too long. It felt different this time. The Krakens weren't outsiders anymore. They weren't the underdogs. They wouldn't measure success by just avoiding relegation. No, not this year. This year, they were going for it all. The Ionath Krakens are on a collision course with a Tier 1 championship. The only variable is time. The central locker room. Here, the entire team gathered before taking the field, or to review Hokor's X's and O's on the holo board. Empty, of course, because he was 2 hours early. He was the first one to arrive. Quentin knew that to lead meant setting an example of hard work, of dedication. Four doors lined the room, each marked by a species-specific icon, each leading to a species-specific section where the players could prepare as suited their kind. No, not four doors, five. Quentin saw that now. In addition to icons denoting Ki, Sklorno, Human, and Quith Warrior, there was one marked for the Heavy G. That had been added sometime during the off-season. The GFL's Heavy G players kept pushing the concept that they were not just big humans, but a separate species that deserved species-level recognition. Yet another wall built up between teammates. Well, Quentin could break down that wall, at least on the football field. His teammates would be Krakens first, individual species second. Before entering the human locker room, he paused for a long look at a new mural. The painting represented the team's namesake. It matched a similar painting in the locker room up on the touchback. A brightly colored, six-tentacled monster rose up from a red ocean to attack some unseen prey. The rows of backward-curving teeth promised a quick death to that prey. Quick, but far from painless. A single huge, green eye glowed with anger, with hunger. The Kraken. A native species to the planet Quith, nicknamed after a creature from Earth mythology. Violent, powerful, unstoppable. The perfect symbol of a championship football team. Quentin nodded to the painting. He turned toward the human locker room, but stopped when he heard the new Heavy G door open. Rebecca Montaigne walked out. She was already dressed in her armor and orange practice jersey. Her long, silky black ponytail hung down to the small of her back. In her left hand, she held her helmet by its face mask. Tucked in the crook of her right arm, a football. She stopped in her tracks, dark eyes wide as if she'd been caught doing something wrong. But she wasn't doing anything wrong. She was doing the same thing as Quentin, arriving early for practice. Not just
early. She was there before he was.
Hello, Quentin.
He glared, angry at her for spoiling his need to be there first, angry at himself for allowing that to happen.
Hi, Quentin said.
They stared at each other. She cleared her throat.
I haven't seen you since the Dinolition match. Did you have a good off season?
She wanted to make conversation.
Sure, he said. It was fine.
She nodded, tried to smile, but it must have felt as awkward as it looked.
How is Somalia?
Good, I guess. She's back on tour. I haven't heard from her in a few days. Because there's no photo ops for her.
Excuse me?
Nothing, she said.
I'm surprised you haven't been talking to her every day, that's all.
I'll talk to her soon. Is John here? Becca shrugged, the motion lifting her heavy shoulder pads in a comical way.
I don't know. I haven't seen him for a couple of days.
The comment drew an odd, surging feeling in his stomach. Well, if she wasn't seeing much of John, then that was good for the team, right? Teammates, dating. That could only end badly.
You're here early, he said.
She nodded.
Always.
His anger and annoyance returned. He pointed at the football in her arm.
Don't be getting any ideas about throwing that thing, rookie. Your quarterback days are done.
Her eyes narrowed. The softness of her face, her feminine expressions, those made it easy to forget that she was a professional fullback, as tough a player as anyone else on the roster. Easy to forget, but her scowl reminded him instantly.
I'm not a rookie. This is my second year. I'm your starting fullback. I'm one of the sentients that protects you on that field, you jerk, and I'll get any ideas I want.
She'd shown great promise last year, her first in upper-tier ball. Pretty impressive, considering she'd been a quarterback for the Green Bay Packers of Tier 3. Amazingly athletic, tough as a battleship rivet, she'd gone from third on the depth chart, behind first-string Tom Perilous and second-string Kopor the Climber, straight to the top spot. Becca the Recca Montaigne, starting fullback for the Ionath Krakens. You could take a player out of the quarterback position, but you couldn't take the quarterback position out of the player. She'd played hard, did her job, but she wanted what Quentin had.
Listen, Montaigne, I'm not going to tolerate anything that will confuse the team this year. So any ideas you have of playing quarterback is when I want your job, you'll know it, Barnes. And if that happens, get ready for the fight of your life.
She whipped the ball. It hit his stomach a moment before he got his hands up to trap it there. She scowled at him again, then turned and stomped out of the central locker room, headed toward the field.
You have been listening to The All Pro, Season 4 of the Galactic Football League series. Written and performed by Scott Sigler. Produced by Ariok Morningstar with post-production by Steve Rickyberg. For more information on Scott and more free stories, go to scottsigler.com. Theme music is the song The Kids Are Coming For You by the band Superweapon. You're kind of sick.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.